Blog Talk Radio.
Of the PPJ Gazette Online, and this is the TS Radio Network. And yes, we are expanding, and it's a lot of work, and I'm glad to do it. And we're going to be bringing you more information, spreading out a little bit, and taking our focus from guardianship, but all of these things that affect it. What happens to the elderly once they are captured in this system? And this is a predatory system. It is a fictionalized erection of statutes that allow the ownership of another human being, and it allows that new owner, that for-profit guardian, to do with that victim whatever they choose. Once in guardianship, once you are guardianized, this is the epitome of identity theft. Your identity is taken from you, and it is given to the predator. They now present themselves as you. They now access all of your assets. They decide whether you live, die, or survive. And many times, they don't decide on the first two. Our special guest this evening is Erin Dakins, and we'll be bringing her on in just a minute. Just a special for tonight, we have Philip Kyler Davenport, who has his own radio show. Kyler, come on here for a minute.
Yeah, I'm here, Marty.
Yeah, and Kyler has a very successful radio show. He's in syndication now. They're all over the place, but he has an extensive background dealing with specifically our topic tonight. So Erin wanted to wait a few minutes and let Kyler speak. So Kyler, tell people what you know about this topic.
Well, I'm a former emergency medical technician, 1 and 2, and an advanced cardiac life support paramedic with a specialty in search and rescue. I'm a former funeral home director, and I've also worked in autopsy, forensic science, homicide, dead body pickup, and crematorium. And I'm also a certified nurse aide times two. And so I've also worked with Governor Ann Richards on a special team of investigators. In conjunction with the World News, I went undercover 2.5 years to ferret out all of these nursing homes that were beating patients up and tying them up and drugging them with pharmaceuticals and other drugs and leaving people in their vomit and ants in the bed, roaches in the bed, and all of these other things. We went out and took pictures. And I was a special team leader for ABC News 2020, which you can find me over there, if you're willing, anybody's willing to look. My deposition, oh my God, is there. It reads like an encyclopedia. So we work to save these people and try to bring some of them to action, the perpetrators to action, put them in jail, and have them closed down. All of this started with the Omnibus Budget Reconciliation Act of 1987, or some people call it OBRA 87, which I had a lot to do with, sitting on the Texas Board of Health at that time and as an investigator and as a policy director for our organization. So we closed down a lot of nursing homes during our period of investigation. We put a lot of people in jail. We fined a lot of people. And when our team left town, Everything went back to the same as it was before, as everything else does in the United States Incorporated. So everything is back to where it is before now. And even to this day in 2018, here we stand with the same problems with guardianship, with the same problems with hospice, the same problems with nurse aides going on the floor, giving out drugs after only 3 days of training, giving out narcotics, having no training at all in airway management, having no advanced training in cardiopulmonary resuscitation, having no advanced training in didactics, or even blood pressure, pulses, and respirations in some cases, not even knowing how to take those down and put them in the record. So we've got a major problem on our hands right now. And it hasn't been solved since 1980, since I've been working on it. Nothing has really changed whatsoever. The nurse aides that are coming out of school now are just as ignorant as they were before all of this started. And I hate to say that, but they don't know how to use their skills to do PICC lines or to monitor intravenous lines or to do advanced airway management of any kind, IPPV, intermittent positive pressure ventilation, or how to monitor bed sores, decubitus. They have no wound team training. So we're still here. We're still monitoring. We're still working with many organizations around the country to do the same thing we did with OBRA 87, and that is to form undercover operatives to go into these homes pretending to be visitors and using our nose and our eyes and our brains to try and ferret out as much information as we can and pass it along to the state investigators. You can't trust the ombudsman anymore whatsoever. They're completely in bed with the state. You can't trust the union anymore. They're completely in bed with the state. So anyway, that's my story. I'm sticking to it. And like I said, we've been advocates now for over 25 years. And I'm pretty much a specialist in this area of long-term care.
Yeah, I'm so glad. And thank you for coming on for these few minutes. And we will be having Kyler on as a guest, and we're going to take up a lot of his time, too. And so it may be at a different time during the day so that we can accommodate his radio show. And tell them how to find your radio show, Kyler.
They can just Google me, Kyler Davenport, K-I-L-E-R. Davenport, like the couch, D-A-V-E-N-P-O-R-T, or they can look up Alternative Public Radio International. We're a 24-hour syndicated 24-hour station. So I appreciate you having me on these few minutes, Marty.
I appreciate you coming on because it's people like you that we need that can speak to this issue with credibility, and you have this history, and these are the
right
people we're looking for. You have this history of working with this. You know how it is, Kyler, they like to paint us all as conspiracy theorists, and oh, it's an isolated case, and oh, you don't know what you're talking to, you don't understand. Yeah, I understand. I'm not completely stupid. I understand.
Oh, it's horrible. Yeah,
It's
horrible. It's horrible what's going on out there right now as we speak. It's horrible, especially in the lower income homes, Medicaid homes. These folks have not seen a visitor in, 10 years. And they're lying in their pee and they're lying in their poo and they're lying in their vomit and they're left in their rooms in the dark. And I could go on, and I will on the show when it comes up. But I appreciate you, Marty, for doing what you're doing. I appreciate you all doing what you're doing, all of you. And I'll continue to promote your show everywhere that we are. Thank you very much for letting me on tonight.
Thank you, Kyler. Thank you so much.
Talk to you soon.
All right. All right.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye. Aaron, did that lay that out for you?
It did very well. Hi, Marty.
Yes. Hi. Hi, everyone. This is Aaron Dakins, and Aaron used to be the host of the Truth Traveler radio show, and because of family issues and responsibilities, gave that up, which I hated to see happen, but she still works actively trying to promote shows and schedule guests for other shows. And Aaron, give everybody a little bit of your background, what you want them to know.
Well, okay. I'm nobody. I'm just a wife, mom in Indiana. I was a registered veterinary technician. I graduated from Purdue University. I was in small animal practice for 25 years, managed a practice for 23, went down the rabbit hole, Marty, that we all go down when you discover that vaccines are the the killer in the room. And I can no longer do that and stay true to myself. So it just has so happened that somebody found me from a blog that I had been writing just to express myself, just to get these feelings and thoughts out, and brought me into producing radio shows, and the rest is history. But I do come from a medical background. Animals and people pretty much run and function the same. Mm-hmm. What happens to them seems to happen to us, and as far as poor care, poor medical care, vaccine trauma, vaccine deaths, vaccine cancers, over the use of pharmaceuticals. It's become, just like with human medicine, the pharmaceutical companies cater to both animal and human, and it's all about money and profit.
Yes.
And, you know, I've been on the other side of that. I've been at the clinic when they brought us dinner for everybody and would give us free product in order to order their product to sell to our clients. It is a shady industry. That's all I have to say about that.
Yeah, at the very least. At the very least. And the worst part of it is, in this issue of guardianship and in respect to the elderly, you know, Aaron, when I was at the summit and I had this question asked so many times, why would the government allow this to happen? Why would they want this to happen? Well, why did they turn hospice into the Grim Reaper? Why?
I call it genocide on a global scale is what I call it.
Yes, yes. And they are killing off the elderly. They consider us a waste population. We can't produce anymore, and that means we can't be taxed. They're guardianizing as many people as possible, depriving them of their property, their identity, their rights. Under probate, of course, you have, because you just became chattel property.
Correct.
When you become a ward of the state, you have just suffered a statutory civil death, and it is the same in its legal effect as an actual physical death. You have no rights. And although the statutes in every state read that you must be afforded due process, you don't get it. And it says that, you know, you can't be isolated. That's the first thing that happens. It says that you can't be involuntarily vaccinated, and you have the right to refuse medications and vaccines. First thing they start doing. And nobody says a word. And the reason for this, part of the reason, is that the federal government currently owes Social Security $3.7 trillion that they have no way to pay back, never intended to pay back. And they want rid of us who are of an age to make a claim on our investment. They are now, I guess, referring to it as a federal benefit program. No. This was Social Security insurance. This was an insurance policy we contributed to over our working lives. But see, now they don't want to
make
it on.
And we had no choice. We had no choice.
No. And no choice at all. They took that money, whether you needed it for your kids or keep your rent paid or whatever. They took that money before you ever saw your paycheck. And it's been made available to the general fund. Goes right straight into the World Bank IMF only as an identified revenue stream. We do not have a treasury. We have not had a treasury since 1933. Excuse me, I've had a terrible cold. But we have not. We have a treasury office, and that person who says the treasury secretary is actually the governor from the IMF World Bank and is the liaison between that bank and the federal government. And they are not paid by us. They are paid by the IMF. So like, for instance, who was the one, Timothy Geithner, in a back and forth with Maxine Walters before that stimulus package was passed. And she kept asking him, why did you do this? Why did you do this? And he finally said, because that's what your government wanted us to do. He said that twice.
That's right.
And people did not hear it. Did not hear what this man was saying. They did not hear what this man was saying. That's what your government wanted us to do. During when you become Treasury Secretary, you are expatriated for the term of your appointment, which is 5 years. And you have to swear an oath to the World Bank IMF. And that's who you work for. You're not working for the United States, but they kept the secretary's office open. So people still think we have a treasury. We don't have anything.
Right.
We don't have anything resembling a treasury. But anyway, they have stolen all this money from Social Security.
Mm-hmm.
Obamacare, okay, is is nothing more than a series of policies. You look behind it, it's all a series of policies, hospice being one of them. Guardianship is included in there. This is why they have gotten away with what they have and why they have ramped this up. This
well, that's
capturing.
Another way for them to launder money. That's right. It all goes into that pot.
Yes.
So, I mean, you're absolutely right.
Yes. And so they capture these people, and these are – this is no different than to me. And I've said this many times on air, Aaron. This is no different than the old auction blocks where they auctioned off slaves. The only thing is now we do it on the internet.
It's true because the elderly have no recourse, Marty.
No.
There's nothing that they can do. They're stuck.
Nope. Nope. No defense. And once you become a ward of the court, you cannot speak for yourself. You cannot hire your own attorney. One is appointed for you, and that person sitting up there calling themselves the judge is not. That's a ministerial clerk or a hearing examiner. When they say, I'm going to hold you in contempt of court if you mention the Constitution again, they have no authority to do that. They consider it spreadable. What they do is send that order over to an actual judge of law who signs it. But that jerk sitting on the bench hasn't got the power or authority to do it. But people are convinced that they do. And they will tell these people in court, you don't have any rights in here. The Constitution doesn't apply in here. That's absolutely true.
That's right.
Your property. Now with
We've operated under this dual system for years and years and years and years.
Yes.
And people don't understand that the Constitution is the shadow system. But you've got to dig way down through the layers to get to that.
Yes.
And you have to learn their speak.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
And if you've ever read a Supreme Court ruling, there's an exercise in futility. I'll go back again to Obamacare. John Roberts, who wrote the ruling on that, said it was constitutional because the government had the right to tax. That was never the question. The question was, can you force people to buy something they don't want?
Correct.
That
but they wanted
the
to run it through as a tax. That way they had to pay for it.
Yes.
Crazy.
And that's why they set up the insurance exchanges in every state, because they cannot force an economic hardship on the state. So they had to set up the insurance exchanges. And then they had to get federal funding. So you know how that goes. Everybody had their hand out. But it's a series of policies. Now, with all of this as a background, and those of you that listen to me regularly, and as I understand it, there are now about 60,000 of you, so welcome to the show. I'm glad to have you. You've heard me talk about this, and I'm going to keep talking about it till it sinks in, until it sinks in what you're dealing with. Now, Erin is on the show tonight because her family has gotten caught up in this. And Erin, can you give us a little history on what's happened here with your mother-in-law?
I can. It is my mother-in-law who's had pretty significant health problems for basically most of her life. She is on Medicare. Long story short, because it would take probably 4 hours to go through her history, Marty, okay? But long story short, she this summer came down with basically a cold, and she was due to go to her doctor for her routine checkup and probably blood work. And, of course, the sun rises and sets by her doctor, you know, that God in the white coat that we admire so much.
Yes.
That can do no wrong. Well, she had a cold. She went in there. And lo and behold, okay, we're going to give you a pneumonia injection, a vaccine. So she got her pneumonia vaccine the day that she was sick, which is a no-no.
Yep.
But, you know, she is 80 years old, Marty, so she's a useless eater. She's lived on this system for most of her life. So I said, well, she'll have pneumonia and be in the hospital in a couple weeks. And my husband and I talked about that, and sure enough, that's what happened. Oddly enough, she was in the hospital, I don't know, it was less than a week with that, Marty, okay? She actually got over it pretty quickly. For her, the problem was that she couldn't stand, nor could she walk on her own. So the trip over to rehab, and she kept going downhill and downhill. Now, we have, my husband and I have been trying to get him power of attorney for years, and she fights it every step of the way. She doesn't want anybody having any control of her medical thing, and it has been a battle for years. The whole family's been involved in this battle. So right now, nobody has any standing. Period. She sure doesn't. So she was in rehab, getting worse and worse and worse. We had been fighting at that point almost the entire time she's in rehab to get her back on her CPAP machine. Her mental facilities were deteriorating at a very, very rapid rate, and she does have dementia. Now, before she had pneumonia and went to the hospital, her dementia wasn't that bad. She might forget a name. You know what, Marty? I forget names. You know?
I do too.
I run through the whole list of my kids. You know, blah, 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 whatever your name is. So it wasn't horrible. And she would repeat herself. I do too. She still was lucid. She made sense. She could carry on a conversation with you. But she began to deteriorate in rehab. And she got sick enough in there. And once again, we were still battling to get just the CPAP machine. We also wanted her at least cut back on some of her list of medications. She ended up back in the hospital again. They assured us they were going to work hard to figure out what was wrong with her, and I sent you the videos.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, literally overnight, she acted like somebody that had had a stroke. She couldn't speak. She was slurring her words. She'd been on a 10-day drunk. Is what you would have thought, okay? Her arms, and she was fidgety and twitchy and just off the rails, hallucinating, making up stories. She'd been kidnapped. They were chasing her. There was somebody in my house trying to get me. The kids were in the yard in the bushes again. There were kids under her bed. She had to get them. It was bad. We literally thought she probably wasn't going to come out of the hospital, and this was just a few weeks ago, basically when I talked to you the first time, Marty, on this topic. And then all of a sudden, just out of the blue, after 2 days in the hospital, they sent her back to rehab.
Mm-hmm.
And she was still a little kind of loopy and kind of nutty and still kind of talking nuts, still being kidnapped. Then she was lost, and then she went through the anger part where I can't say some of the words on air, but why are we leaving her there, and on and on and on. This went. Over the last week, mainly because we have thrown such fits to get her CPAP, to the point we've brought her CPAP in, we've got her a new mask, we've got her a new hose, that she's been sleeping with, that she can now carry on a conversation. We constantly ask about the medications that she's on. We keep wanting to decrease some of them. I know we'll never get them all taken off, Marty. I'm not stupid.
Right.
I know it'll never happen.
Nope.
But I would like the Paxil decreased, okay? Because that can suppress your appetite. She eats like a bird. It's 2 to 3 bites per meal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And the food is actually pretty decent, Marty. It's
not
horrible food. So she is getting better. But my thought on this, and I may be wrong, it may be up for Arlene to tell me later,
okay.
Or you, because I'm not, it's been a long time since I practiced veterinary medicine, and we didn't use the antidepressants and whatnot that they use in human medicine.
Right.
I almost feel like she was overdosed on the gabapentin.
Yes.
And that made her go nutty, so they sent her to the hospital. Then she wasn't on it for a few days. It kind of cleared the system. She's slowly getting her faculties back. But we're still stuck at the rehab. Now we're circling the drain of going into the Alzheimer's unit.
Okay. Now, the Paxil that you're talking about, or was it Prozac? Mm-hmm. Which one?
No, it was Paxil. It was Paxil.
Paxil. Well, either one, they're psychotropic drugs. And
correct.
The manufacturers will tell you, admit, that they have no idea what these drugs actually do in the brain, except for they do know that it causes permanent damage to the frontal cortex of the brain, and they are not to be administered to people over 60, people even in the early stages of dementia, and most especially not to people with Alzheimer's. It'll tell you that right in the prohibitions, you know, not to be used for adverse reactions section. You talk about the hospital sending her to rehab. It's because the amount of time Medicare would pay for her to be in the hospital was up. That's why they sent her to rehab. And then when rehab runs its line of how much Medicare will pay for time in there for the reason given she was there, they bounce her back to the hospital. And this is the way this goes. And then you, because of this, in each place, when you go into the hospital and you start giving them, let's say you go into the emergency room and you give them these symptoms, my nose is running, I have a fever, I have stomach, you know, pains, I'm having diarrhea, let's say, for instance. They punch this into a computer.
Yep.
And the program prints out every possible diagnosis that could be applied and every possible medication that could be used and every possible therapy that it could be used for that patient. And they
correct, and we have that printout. That's what I sent to you. Was their standard of care. Yes.
Yes. Yes. And it isn't a standard of care. It's how to increase the profits by 20% or more. And
I'll give you a good how much do they charge Medicaid or Medicare, whatever. I always get them confused. I'm bad. What do they charge per day, per patient, to run a nasal cannula through their, you know, the room air machine?
I do not know.
Okay. Well, okay. That I figure it's probably at least a couple hundred bucks, right? Maybe not. I don't know. I have no clue. But they put her O2 sat were 97%. So her O2 is fine. 96, 97, it's fine. They had her on a nasal cannula at 1% room oxygen through the machine for 5 weeks. Why is that?
Oh,
she doesn't need it. It's for money. It's milking it.
Yes. Yes. This Medicare, Medicaid thing. Another thing I want to tell people about, too. If you're under another one of the policies hidden in, and believe me, this was Democrat and Republican both. Don't come at me with, well, that's a damn Democrat. So it was all of them, sweetie. They were all in it together, and they exempted themselves from every bit of it and their families and their staff. Don't have to be subject. We are paying for them to have golden fleece health care, and they are not subject to any of Obamacare or the policies in it. But written into Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, if you are on Medicaid for even 5 minutes in your lifetime, no matter what estate plans you've done, if somebody didn't capture you in guardianship, didn't medically kidnap you, somehow you escaped this predatory system, if you are on Medicaid at any time, the state steps in immediately and seizes all property because you owe the state for the services they provided, and they will take it lock, stock, and barrel. Right down to your clean undies in your dresser drawer. Upon the person passing, they come in and seize the property. That was another one of the little catches in there. And what people don't understand about all of this is about depriving the public of private property ownership. It is depriving you, it's dispossessing you of your home, of land, of your personal possessions, your liquid assets. You, as a person, don't matter. Now, once they have you in their clutch, it's just exactly what you're talking about, Aaron. What happens? Well, then the pharmaceutical and medical industry steps in. And as a ward of the state, this legally, statutorily dead person can now be used as a human guinea pig. So we got vaccines to sell, or pneumonia vaccines, and we just routinely give them out because there's a big old surcharge attached to those that is paid by Medicare that is supposed to fund the vaccine liability court. Lots of luck.
Yes.
That's captured by the pharmaceutical company. And there might be anywhere from a $2.50 up to $35 surcharge attached to one vaccine.
Okay.
The pharmaceutical company, by the time they get done with that surcharge that they are supposed to turn over to the vaccine liability court to pay for vaccine damage, by the time they get done bookkeeping, administering, whatever else they do, you're lucky if 1% to 2% of that $35 makes it to that court. And it's all set up. It is a money laundering system. Now, with your mother-in-law, what you're talking about, we've heard repeatedly, we hear this repeatedly, this bouncing of them in from one place to the other place. They change the medications, they change the dose, they change the types, they change the delivery system. And you see this roller coaster in their behavior as their body absolutely goes into revolt over all these toxic chemicals being pumped into them, which is very effective in making them appear to be incapacitated. And, well, look at them. They can't even talk. The video you sent me of your mother-in-law, excellent example. And I would have posted that, except they would have sued you over it.
They probably would, yes.
Yes. And they would have sued you for identity theft. You see how that works? Well, anyway.
I do. I do.
So, but this is what happens. And this constant bouncing them back and forth, of course, causes more and more damage. On any of these psychotropic drugs, withdrawal from them takes a long time, if you ever actually can get off them. Drugs like Prozac, particularly, is known to be the cause of Parkinson's disease, and yet it is handed out like the opioids.
Vicodin. Yes. Now, they did take her off those, I will say that.
Yes. Well, they needed to take her off them, but see, the damage is done because these things get in your body and they mess up your liver and they mess up your kidneys. And then you start having kidney failure. And all of these things together, this is a plan in action, and the cash machine is running the entire time.
Yes.
There is nothing that she is going through that somebody isn't billing for.
Well, that's it, and you're absolutely right. But the issue also, Marty, is it's out of – and you talk about this. I mean, I've had you on my show multiple times to talk about this. The family has no control.
No.
The family – and the problem is they decapacitate these elderly people to the point that physically we can't take care of her.
Right.
Okay? I weigh 85 pounds.
I hate you,
my mother-in-law weighs 100. I'm sorry. My mother-in-law weighs 175 pounds. I can't even get her up out of the wheelchair. And I used to be an EMT, Marty. I know how to wrangle people.
Yes.
I'm just a lot older now. That was 20 years ago. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We can't. My husband has a bad back. We can't do it. So it's out. It's almost like it's out of your hands. You can't.
Yes.
We have no other recourse. We can't afford private 24-hour nursing care. We're like you. We barely make it through the month, okay?
Yep.
So we've got the genocide of the elderly through Obamacare, right?
Yep.
Okay? They're working the middle-aged Americans to death if they can find a job, which there are jobs. But I'm not going to say there's not because there are. But you've got the younger generation that's being genocided with the drugs. The street drugs, okay? This is all genocide on this global scale. And it's going to impact every single listener in your audience at some point, whether it's a family member with drugs, whether it's losing a job, losing a home, you're bankrupt, you can't pay the rent, whatever it is, or it's your parents, or heaven forbid, your brother, your sister, whatever, that has to go into a nursing home. It's going to affect every American out there.
It is. And, you know, the thing is, Aaron, it's just like, you know, your story with your mother-in-law there. I've heard this story so many times. I could have told it to you before you told it to me.
I knew what was happening because of you. As it was, I was telling Brad along the way, this is their standard of care. This is what you can expect. This is what's going to happen. You have no say-so. They're going to drug her. They're going to medicate her. She'll do a little bit better for a while. She'll plateau. She'll go down. We'll plateau again. We'll go down. It'll be this vicious stair step down until we've bottomed out.
Well, and eventually what they are doing is creating what's called the conditions, the medical conditions necessary to call for futility of care. Now, this is
correct.
Where that bimbo Sarah Palin was correct, the death panels. These are the death panels. And it's happening at your local hospice, your local hospital, who uses hospice services or they use medical kidnap. And what this basically gets down to is they create the conditions necessary that they can claim futility of care. In other words, we're not going to invest any more money in your, we're going to give you palliative care just so you don't, you don't suffer pain. And all it is terminal sedation.
It is.
Terminal sedation. And they just start drugging them to death. The one thing you want to watch for is them withholding food and hydration. There's two ways they do this. In hospice, the first thing they do is they stop, you know, if they have feeding and hydration tubes, they pull them. And they start drugging them immediately. And that's to keep, because this is a very painful process as the organs start shutting down. This, I've told people this, Aaron, this is no different than lethal injection in a prison. And they say, oh, people don't even suffer. They just kill them. No, they have been given a shot that's a paralytic that prevents them from twitching, crying out, screaming. As these poisons are delivered to their system that start shutting their organs down, they can't move. It's all for your entertainment if you got the stomach for that kind of thing.
Do you know
this
what they're
not
using as the paralytic by any chance?
What?
I said, no, I'm asking, do you know?
Succinylcholine.
Succinylcholine. I knew you were going to say that. Succinylcholine.
Yep.
Okay. It is a paralytic. They can feel every single thing. We use that in equine medicine when I was at Purdue for certain procedures. We also gave pain medication as well, but regardless. But that succinylcholine was also the way we euthanized horses.
Yes, okay? Thank you.
That's what we did. It was succinylcholine. So I knew you were going to say that.
Yep.
And that is, if anybody out there was in veterinary medicine, you ever heard of a drug called ketamine? It became a street drug. Okay.
Yes.
Ketamine has about the same effect, so they could probably use ketamine to do this. Now, ketamine, they will hallucinate too, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But they're paralyzed. They can't move.
Yes.
You hear those horror stories of somebody that was awake during their surgery from anesthesia that didn't. Okay, see? Okay, you know what I'm saying? You can't move.
Yep.
You're powerless to move. They think you're sedated. So the family member would look at these people, these elderly people, and think, they're resting comfortably because that's what it looks like inside.
Yeah.
That's why with ketamine, we had to start giving pain medications like Torbugesic and whatnot with it, because there was no, when I first started back in high school in veterinary medicine, we just used ketamine to declaw cats or to neuter cats. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Then you find out years later, oh, they felt everything. Oh, isn't that special? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's the same with people. So, okay, Marty, continue.
Yeah, well, and this is what I'm saying. This is what they do. And this bouncing back and forth with these toxic drugs, none of these drugs should be on the market. None of them should be on the market. And they are manufactured for no other reason than to get you addicted. And if it isn't addiction, it is to slowly kill you. And when these psychic drugs, like I say, there is a prohibition written right in the circular that comes with the medication. When you go to your pharmacy and they'll give you a printout, it'll tell you precautions, don't use. Let's use Levaquin and Seroquel, both chemotherapy drugs. Both were developed, they are an antibody developed specifically to counter the infection caused by chemotherapy. Okay, as chemo goes through and kills everything in your body.
Correct.
The problem was when they added Levaquin or Cipro to chemotherapy, people were dying faster than they could realize their projected profits. So they went to the FDA, paid a $5 million fast-track fee, and got them put out as general antibiotics. Now then, the FDA just came out this last year and said you're using it for purposes it was never intended. It's not to be used on people over 60, not to be used for lung, sinus, or urinary tract infections, and you are using it for that all day long.
Mm-hmm.
It's not to be used in conjunction with corticosteroids, most especially prednisone, or with NSAIDs like ibuprofen. They do it all day long. They prescribed Lebaquin and or Sepril, and they will do it together with prednisone and ibuprofen and give it to people over 60. And in a confrontation I had with a doctor about this, because it was done to me, they said, oh, we did this all day long and nobody ever complains. Yeah, they complain. You just don't record the complaint. You didn't record the adverse reaction. And a lot of them dropped over dead, and you said, ah, they were old, so what? But you have to pay attention, and you can look all this stuff up online, every one of these drugs, and like the Cipro and Levaquin are called fluoroquinolones. They are not.
Right, fluoroquinolones, yeah.
Yep, they are not a simple antibiotic. They work just like chemotherapy. They eat up everything they come in contact with, everything. And it is difficult to get them out of your system once they are in there, just like chemo never leaves your system. And by the way, Aaron, the FDA came out last year and admitted that 95% of the time, chemotherapy is absolutely useless, especially in the case of breast cancer.
I know.
And we got these bald-headed women running around wearing their pink ribbons and saying, get your mammogram. I don't think so. I'll pass on that one.
If you want me to do that, you bend over.
Yeah.
Okay.
I told you one night on your show, I had been sent to a specialist, and he was screaming that I had never had a mammogram. And I said, well, I'll tell you what, I'll make you a deal. And he said, what? I said, you go in there and put the family jewels between those two plates, and we'll crush them, and then shoot them with radiation, and when you're pissing out of what looks like a beaver's tail for the next week, if you still think this is a good idea, I'll go in there and put my breasts in there. And he got insulted.
He probably declined.
He got upset. He got red-faced. I said, oh, no, we can't do that to you. We just do that to me. After all, I'm just a woman. It's just my breasts. I mean, what the hell? But this is what I'm saying. And they will do that to older women in these nursing homes. They will subject
them
to
mammograms. Well, they do that, and they continually vaccinate them. They got to have flu shots twice a year, pneumonia shots twice a year. When did this happen? I mean, seriously. And then they would put them on. You talk about the Paxils, and you talk about the Prozacs. Those are all – a lot of those, quote-unquote, antidepressant drugs have fluoride as a base.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
When you do fluoride as a base – It does cross the blood-brain barrier, so it is in your brain. Now, wait a minute, because it also makes you more susceptible to brainwashing. Oh, funny how all this works, and it ties all together, Marty. It's amazing to me how they do that. It really is amazing to me how they can be so evil.
Aaron, what bothers me is the people who willingly participate in this. I mean,
they love their doctors. They've been trained to idolize the white coat.
Yeah. Well, I think those days are fast.
However, I go in and see the white coats, and I want to slap them.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. I have been with my husband to the VA with his first VA doctor exactly twice, Marty. And the second time didn't end on a very good note because I was so angry with this idiot that I said, did you graduate from the Kmart School of Medicine? And I walked out and slammed the door. Because they have no common sense, no brain. It's all cookbook medicine. If you want to take care of your health, take care of your own health.
Yes.
Do your own research. Figure out what works the best. And if you're lucky enough in your area, you might have an integrative doctor close to you.
Well, to quote a good friend of mine who was told by a physician, I'm a doctor. Call me doctor. And she responded, is everyone as surprised you got through medical school as you seem to be?
Right on.
And there you go. And that's the thing. But what they're doing to the elderly is not only this capture system, this targeting and taking them hostage, and that's what I consider this. This is torture. When you isolate someone from their family and they can't see them for years, and they
think you're a
danger.
We haven't gone through that yet. Okay.
Hang on to your butt, sweetie.
I know. But she doesn't have a large estate. She has nothing. That's the only saving grace in our favor. But
except
I think
she
has
a medical ATM.
She has a medical aid. That's right. I know. But here's the thing. It's like she turned 80. She gets a cold. She goes to the doc. 2 years ago, he may not have given her that pneumonia vaccine when she was already sick. It was like he's like, oh, it's time to cash out the machine. Let's get her real sick.
Yep.
We'll get her in the system. She'll never go home again. To me, that's what it felt like. Well, I've lost Marty.
Oh, here I am.
Okay, there you is.
But, yeah, there I is. But no, at my age, I go to the doctor, and everything now, I don't care what it is. I don't care. I could go in there with my throat cut, and it would be, well, you know, at your age. Well, you know, as we get older. And I had a doctor say to me here in the recent past, well, I see you're still smoking. And I said, and I see you're still handing out vaccines and medications that kill people or injure them. See how that works? I can either let you hurt
see how
me
that
or
works?
I can hurt me. Yeah.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And,
that's right.
But this system they've got going, this is a culling. This is a culling. Somebody somewhere has decided that your mother-in-law needs to go.
Yes.
And they're going to make sure she does. And it's
going
to
gradually increase the medications, do you see?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
And they'll gradually increase them. And then if you object, what they're going to do is say things to you like, well, you don't want her to suffer, do you? You know, we're only doing this so she doesn't suffer. You know, she's had a long life. She needs to let go. Don't put her through this.
Now, will they charge more for a room in the Alzheimer's unit as opposed to a room in the rehab?
Yes.
Aha.
Uh-huh. Yes. Yes.
We get her just sick enough that she just enough that she can't go home and she has dementia, so we're going to put her in that unit.
Yes.
We're going to bring out her symptoms even more. But we're going to trigger the symptoms. I call it triggering the symptoms.
Yes.
Because we stress the body, we stress the person, we trigger the symptoms, they go nutty, come back a little bit, rebound, and they trigger it again.
Yeah. And they say,
am I right?
Oh, they're sunsetting. They're sunsetting. That's what they're doing. They're sunsetting. We have a caller on here, and I think I know who it is. Sharon?
Yeah. Hi, Marty. How are you?
Good. Erin, this is Sharon DeLobo. She runs the Silver Standard and also EARN Project
Sharon.
Coming up. And Sharon, what do you think about what you've heard so far?
Scares the heck out of me. I think I won't listen anymore.
Now stop that. Erin.
Marty, you know, something I didn't – the reason I called in was I wanted – this month in the Silver Standard in the November issue, we're starting – it's a very simplistic article. We'll go into it much deeper. We're trying to get an accountant to go sort of dig into this for us. But there's one idea that's beginning to pop up with people who are afraid of nursing homes. They don't want to put their parents in nursing homes. They're afraid of them. And it's this co-housing situation.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know a lot about that?
I've
do
seen
not.
That. Yeah.
Well, they,
I've
you
seen
know,
that.
They get four or five or six, however many people who have parents like yours who need attention. They put them all into one house, and everybody shares the bills within the house. And the good thing about it is that they keep each other company, which is really, as you know, one thing that's very good for longevity is the mind has to keep working. And they also watch after each other. All the decisions are made by them, so there isn't a nursing home or an assisted living facility or, you know, Mother Superior saying what you're supposed to do. The people make the decisions themselves. And what we're looking into is that's very good as a starting point. Your mother needs to go into a nursing home. She really can't live alone anymore. Then
mm-hmm.
there's the next four. Then you know, you have to expand that. There would, I would assume, have to be three or four levels of co-housing, depending on how infirmed someone is. But obviously the final level would be a group of people with parents in a co-housing situation who are at the end of life, who need constant nursing care. So everyone share, instead of a hospital paying the nurse and telling them what to do, the families pay the nurse and watch over her, and the patients are there. So it's a kind of the beginning of an idea. They've been doing Denmark for
a long
time, and it works well.
I think it's
a good idea.
As long as you can afford to pay the nurses and you have these young strapping bucks, right, that can help lift mm-hmm. these people
well,
and give them their showers.
Well, you can't afford to do it alone, but as a group,
no.
you're more able to afford it.
Yeah. Well, right. And the thing is, there is no reason under these circumstances that Medicare should not be contributing
exactly.
to this. There
yeah,
is absolutely no reason why this is far less costly than this bouncing them in and out of hospitals and nursing
exactly.
homes and rehab facilities.
Yeah.
Far less costly. And then
exactly.
you would have a reduction also in medications, and you would have a reduction in housing costs.
Yep.
You would, so it would be a very
food,
cost effective.
Everything.
Yes. Yes. And
everything.
And you are absolutely right that stimulus they need, the interaction with other people. I think this is one of the greatest harms that nursing homes do, is the isolation, not just from the family, but from other members in the home.
And
many
they stop,
of them don't.
In a nursing home, they stop being responsible for themselves as well.
Yes.
And that's
yes.
not good for a human spirit, I don't think.
No.
No, they fight for so long for their own independence, and then they
right.
lose it, and then they almost give up more of it. Oh, I can't
so.
Do that.
Yeah. Somebody does everything for you, and after a while, you're letting them make all your decisions as well.
Correct.
Yes.
Somebody combs my hair for me every day. Why should I?
Right.
Yes, exactly.
Right. And
exactly.
then she has suggestions of what medicine I should take. And after I'm so dependent on her, I just follow whatever she says.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a healthy place for people to be.
No,
no.
isn't. And I think it's a good idea. The problem I see in it, Sharon, is that it is a good idea. So you're going to have these predators running in trying to set these places up.
Yes.
You know,
you bet.
Sabotaged.
The vultures.
Yes.
Yeah, the vultures will be circling. Because if there's a dime to be made, they want it. And
mm-hmm.
But I do think it's a good idea. And I know what you're talking about in Sweden. And they set up these little villages. And everybody's
yeah.
house, the one I saw, and they're just little, like, apartments. But it's done in an era these people are familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know what I'm saying, like from the 40s or the 50s, they're styled that way, and these people feel at home. They feel at home.
Well, that's
they
important.
Feel, you know, yes, yes.
Feeling at home and having part of your home where you are gives
right.
them a
yes.
focal, emotional focal point.
Right. Even
yes.
a person in a nursing, I mean, sorry, even a person in a wheelchair, in the earlier stages of co-housing, they all, they all pitch in and cook their meals together and those things. Even in a nursing, in a wheelchair, that person can be in the kitchen where other people are there. You know, one person's making the salad, another person's cooking the chicken, whatever. And they can be productive. And that's
yes.
really important.
It is. And, you know, and on that note, Sharon, they talk about retiring people who retire that have been very active all their life, worked all their mm-hmm. lives and everything. These people die quicker, sooner than people who have
yes.
not been quite so busy. And they said that sudden loss of the job, having nothing to do, it's like they just give up. And that's what happens
well, when
to people.
You stop using all the things you've been using all your life, all the
mm-hmm.
decision-making tools and things you've been using all your life, you just are no longer part of life.
Right. And exactly. And they do. They just simply shut themselves off.
Right.
And there is, I have to admit, a nursing home here where I live. There is none of this stuff of you get stopped at the door and why are you here and you can't see so-and-so.
No, we don't have any of that either, Marty.
Yeah. When you walk in the door there, can I help you find someone? And yeah. And you can go up there. They invite the public to come up and have lunch with these people, have dinner with them. A lot of them don't have any family left.
Right.
And so they're always looking for volunteers to come in. The local schools put on Christmas shows for them. They bring in, of course, where I live here, polka is a big thing. I can't stand it. It's called Oompa. And but they bring in polka bands for them. And they'll get up and dance. And my granddaughter worked there for about a year. And she said the one night in the dining room, she said, this woman came across the room. She said she was zeroing in on me. And she said, I thought, oh, crap, what did I do? And she said, that woman said, all my life, all I've done is take care of people. And she said, Caitlin said, I thought, oh, God, what did I do wrong? And she said, and I come here. And she said, they wait on me hand and foot. And she said, I just love it. And they have constantly, they just have constantly something going on there for these people. They have all kinds of volunteers from the community that come in that if they can't do their hair for them. Manicures, pedicures, this kind of thing. And to keep these people vibrant, they have an assisted living facility now attached to this. They allow people to have their little pets, their little kitties and their little dogs, and they can take them out and walk them and do all that stuff. There is none of this stuff that you can't come in. You know, there's none of this restraint. Why do you want to see them? You get a court order first. There's none of this stuff. So you know it can be different. You know it can be different. And the families are encouraged to come in. And but see, where I live, and I think where you all live too, this nursing home thing is the last resort if the family is handling it. It is the last resort. But they want very much for the public to believe, and much of the public does believe, that older people are just simply dumped in these nursing homes and the family walks away. They don't care. Nothing could be further from the truth. Nothing. They are prevented. They are prevented by court orders. They have been accused of criminal trespass. These guardians and conservators have isolated that elderly person. And they said, you can't see them because you upset them. Yes, they want to go home. They don't know where they are. They want to go home. They're in the hands of people who don't give a crap about them. And then they give them these drugs. And if they won't take them voluntarily, they crush them up and put them in their food. And one of the things I have seen happen is they have drugged these people to the point where, Aaron, as you were talking about, they can't move. They're just laying there. They will bring a food tray in and set it there.
Now, yes, they set it there, move. And then they don't help them eat. Yeah, it's cool.
Right, right. And then they come back, oh, well, you didn't want to eat, and take their tray away. And here this person can't move. They know they can't move because they drugged them. And like I say, my issue with all of this is the people who participate in doing this to other human beings. What kind of animal do you have to be to do this, take a paycheck to do this to other human beings and knowing you are causing such severe suffering? And this is this isolation. It's the top of the list on the UN International Ban on Torture. Isolation is number one. What's the first thing they do to the elderly that they capture? They isolate them.
That's
isolate
right.
them immediately.
Yeah, what's the worst thing you can do for a person?
Yes, they isolate them immediately, but nobody sees the problem. Having been where I've been and talked to whom I've talked to, my problem is that there is not a politician out there that does not know exactly what's going on here. And they will pander and, they're gravely concerned and they're going to look into this. Oh, this is just terrible. Well, it must be an isolated incident, but they'll look at, you'll be hearing from them. Well, no, I won't, but you'll be hearing from me. And, you know, and this is a thing they all know, but it is a... It is that we have been deemed to be human waste, a disposable population. We have got to be gotten rid of. And they have convinced these young people that somehow they are being denied something or prevented from having something because we exist. We are using up resources.
Well, because the older people, they think, are a drain on the everything.
Yes.
I mean, that's I think that's the feeling.
Yes. And you know,
sad.
I told one young man who said, he says, well, he said, you know, they're using up all the resources and everything. And what are they using? And I said, and by the way, that sidewalk you're standing on, who do you think put that there?
Right, and one day it'll be their turn. Then see if they think they're taking up everything.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
We all get old. We can't escape it.
Indeed,
you know,
we do.
I have tried hard. I have tried hard, but it's just creeping up on me anyway. And but it just, you know, this is what I'm saying. But these doctors, Aaron, you know, with what you're going through with your mother-in-law, I hate to tell you, this is going to get worse.
It will get worse.
Worse.
So far, we haven't been isolated, but I don't expect her to come out of the nursing home, period.
No, and don't, because they're not going to give up the money.
No.
It's not
like we can walk in and kidnap her back. So
she wouldn't
do that anyway. You know, she believes in the doctors too much.
Yeah.
We always fight that battle as well. So far, like you said, with the place up by you, you know, we can just walk in, come and go anytime we want. We can ask questions. We can request things. That doesn't mean they'll do it. It took us three weeks to get her CPAP going. So, okay, whatever. You know, we've tried to get some medications decreased that she knows she's had hallucinations before on, and we can't seem to do that. So it's not all terrible, Marty, but it's not good.
Yes. It's not good. They are laying the groundwork for what is to come. And
correct.
Those medications are key to it. Because the more they give them to her, the more her mental capacities are going to diminish. The more erratic her behavior is going to become. And
correct.
Watch the dosage. And watch the number of times. This is just... God, I hate this. I hate this.
But she's not under guardianship, is she?
Actually, we don't have elder guardianship in the state of Indiana, believe it or not.
Oh, well, that's wonderful.
And Brad
yes.
went to the courthouse, and he happened to go to the courthouse, Marty, last week when you told him to that day.
Yes,
he happened to be, and there was a free attorney there. Go figure. I didn't know they did that, but whatever.
No, I didn't
And he
either.
Talked to him. I had no idea. And they looked up guardianship for a senior citizen. They have it for children. There's nothing for a senior citizen. The attorney was shocked. And, you know, he said, this isn't right. There should be something. There's nothing. There's nothing in the state of Indiana.
So what they're doing...
So they can't guardianize a person in Indiana?
We can't get guardianship. I don't know if they can or not. I mean,
they
can.
They're
big.
Can't.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Is, you know, they're a big, quote-unquote, corporate hospital, okay?
Yes.
So they probably have a lot more legal pull than we do. But we cannot go in and establish guardianship. And now they say because of her diminished mental capacity, and they just gave her another test today, and she failed it. So we can't even have her – we can't even get power of attorney at this point. The only thing that we have to stand on is that Brad is next of kin. Period.
Right.
End of story. That's all we have.
Okay. It's not going to make any difference in the end. And what will happen is they'll push this into probate, is what they will do. And you will not be allowed to speak, enter any evidence to refute what the predators have planned. You will not be able to, she will not be represented by anyone other than a court-appointed attorney. She will not be allowed to attend any hearings involving her. She will not be afforded due process of law. They don't have to follow the rules of evidence or the civil code of procedure. They don't have to follow anything. This is the old recreation of the old Star Chamber English courts. You're guilty before you walk in there. But what you want to watch, Aaron, is that medication sheet, because that'll tell you what's going to happen. An increase in dosage. Increase
Aaron?
In the number of medications. Go ahead, Sharon.
The guardianship law for Indiana says any interested person, including an entity, may file a petition for the appointment of a guardian, and at a hearing, the court will determine whether or not appointment of a guardian is necessary. Then you have a list of temporary guardians, emergency guardians, limited guardians, plenary guardians, and the termination of guardianship. So you could apply for guardianship of your mother in Indiana.
That's what the attorney said. The attorney said if we even get a copy of, like, guardianship papers from another state,
mm-hmm.
he basically told Brad if you could get that, print it out, white it out,
mm-hmm.
type in the correct information, fill it out, you could submit it to the court. Yes, he did say that.
Yeah.
Perhaps you should do that before the hospital decides to do that.
Yes.
Or somebody roaming the halls, a professional guardian
mm-hmm.
or something, decides to do that.
Yes.
I'm just looking in our, you know how we've got that legal, our legal guy. I'm looking for the...
On Sharon's site there, Erin, there's a
mm-hmm.
map of the United States. You click on your state, and they are, as fast as they can get it done, downloading all the laws and statutes, codes, and everything that apply to this.
Yeah, we don't have guardianship in there yet. We will before it'll be there before Christmas, but I'm in Connecticut right now, and I have to get back to New York. He's finished it.
Mm-hmm.
Relationship to petitioner to ward. So a petitioner can be a parent, adult child, spouse, sibling, aunt, uncle, guardian, parent, cousin, niece, nephew, grandchild, friend, or professional.
Okay.
And they
okay.
say the majority of people who are doing it are usually parents, so that would be a child who needs to be guardian. Then that's 29%, though, is the adult children asking for guardianship of a parent.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay.
There you go, Erin. And we can work more with you on that off air, but that, I was going to say, because I've had cases in Indiana, so, you know, where we've dealt with cases, not a lot of them, I will say that, but it, believe me, the system is there, it's in every state, and the statutes in every state were created by the Bar Association, the National Guardianship Association, and the College of Probate Judges, which is an oxymoron, because they're not judges, and, that is something, I had David Jose on here a couple of times. David talked about courts of record. And I said, can you explain this? What is a court of record and what is not a court of record? He said, when you go into civil or criminal court, that is a court of record. They have to keep a transcript. Everything that happens in there must be recorded. It must follow certain procedures, rules, due process. You know, everything has to be heard and recorded. He said a court that is not a court of record is a tribunal. And that's what
mm-hmm.
probate is, family court mm-hmm. is, all of that. They don't have to keep any records. They don't have to. We've had cases where the judge, and I say that with as much disrespect as I possibly can muster, has refused to allow any evidence that refuted what the predators were saying to even be put on his desk or bench. Has refused to allow the family to speak. We've had families standing, crying, and begging, please, please, we'll take them. We have it on video. And yet the transcript, if one can be obtained, and usually these days one cannot, will read that no one objected, no family came forward, no next friend was present. No one was willing to take. So we basically sold this person to Predator X standing over here, who is now going to proceed to plunder the estate. And like I say, not having assets these days is not key to everything, because the way Obamacare works, and now they just made these changes, the way this all works, you can be a medical ATM. And that means vaccine, 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 medication, 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 until you just die. You die from the overload of all these toxic chemicals and everything else. There isn't one thing in a vaccine, not one thing that could conceivably prevent a disease. You are being injected with the DNA of non-related species. You were mutated funguses, viruses, molds, bacteria. You are being intentionally infected. Stop doing this. Stop lining up like sheep and having this done.
Oh, wait. Keep going through the Walgreens drive-thru for your flu shot. I always loved that. That was like the craziest thing I think I've seen.
You could get through a drive-thru?
Yeah.
Yes, you can go through a drive-through at Walgreens, yes, for your flu shot. But I've even had them come out at the kids' high school games, Marty, and say during halftime, if you go into the lobby, you can get your free flu shot.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they tried to at my granddaughter's high school. The last 2 years, they tried to run a Gardasil clinic. Well, I already knew about Gardasil, and that it's basically an anti-fertility drug. It fries the ovaries and eggs,
mm-hmm.
and this is what it's for. It doesn't have anything to do with preventing cervical cancer, and now we know that where cervical cancer was present in only 1% to 2% of the female population, based on pap smears, which were quite effective, in the group of women that have gotten the Gardasil vaccines and survived it, the rate of cervical cancer has jumped to 40%.
Gee,
I wonder what happened there.
Yeah,
well, and it's been
banned.
You
want to hear something scary?
What? I'm scared anyway, Sharon.
In Indiana, you can file for guardianship online.
Oh, well, isn't that convenient? Come on.
Yeah.
Sharon, can you send that link? Can you email that link to Marty and she can email it to me?
Yeah, it's
awful.
Thank you. This is ridiculous. You select a type of guardian. You want to be a guardian of a minor or of an adult, and then you say you're in Indiana, and then you go, oh, no, they've got it in other states, too. They got a drop-down list. This is
crazy. Oh, there we go. It's self-help legal.
Maybe we could drive through Walgreens and they could hand us one.
Maybe you can get permission from Walgreens, too. You can become a guardian from Walgreens.
That's right.
Yes.
Well, you got to remember, we're famous in Indiana here for Eli Lilly.
You can become your mother's guardian in Indiana. So that would be probably something you should look into before some professional looks into it.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And I would get that done post-haste, and I'll get that all put over to you this evening.
Yeah. Thank you.
But see, I knew there had to because I've had cases out there. So I knew they had to have. And see, that's the thing, too, with these attorneys. Now I'm just sick to damn death of these people. I am. If they're a good attorney, they investigate and disbar them. You can tell the good guys because the bar overseers is investigating them with the intent to disbar them. That's a good attorney they're getting rid of there. It's a rare thing they actually go after one that's really corrupt, and they'll only go after them if it looks like it's going to have a domino effect and come back on the people at the board. And so when you see an attorney get disbarred that was fighting for their client, that's why they got disbarred.
That's right.
They were a good attorney. But too many of them sit there, look you right in the face, and tell you the biggest freaking lies you ever heard. And then charge you a boatload of money for it. And I have no faith in it at all. That's why that disbar the bar movement is becoming so huge. People want rid of this damn bar association thing. It is a racket. That's all it is. And it's backdoor legislative writing. And they're doing it through statute and code instead of lawmaking. But it's just... Oof, this is see something good came out of this, Sharon. Thank you.
Thank you, Sharon.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you very much.
I'm sending right now. I'm sending you that link to how you just how you get to be a guardian in 5 easy steps or whatever it
All
is.
Right.
You're online.
All right.
I don't believe it. And also, I'm going to send you, Marty, a summary of the Indiana law with the numbers of the law so Aaron can get a look at that.
All right. And,
okay, thank
you,
Sharon.
You need to be armed with these things because they will beat you to death with those laws you don't know about. And because they're multitudinous. And that's another thing in probate court. The law means nothing because they are not dealing with law. And they will tell you, the law is what I say it is. What they're telling you is the statute will be interpreted the way I say it's interpreted. The statutes have no meaning. They can do whatever they want. And
they can.
All your estate planning, whatever, your medical directives, all of that stuff,
mm-hmm.
If you're incapacitated today, you must have been 20 years ago when you wrote these documents, so we're going to discard them, and we're giving all this over to that vulture standing over there. And this is exactly what they do. But like I say, Aaron, the thing to watch is that medical list, that medication list, because it will tell you how fast they're moving on this, how quickly they intend, how close you are to the max that Medicare will pay or Medicaid will pay. They'll tell you how close they are. Then when they start ramping this up, it means the time is up. It's getting close to nobody's going to pay any money. You got to go. And then you will be approached, you and Brad will be approached with, well, you don't want her to suffer, do you? She's had a long life. Don't put her through this. Don't put your family through this. And they'll be telling her the same thing when she has lucid moments. Don't put your family through this. You don't want to hurt them like this, do you?
Oh, God.
And, I mean, it is one of the most grotesque, insidious things I have ever seen. Go on, and these people that participate in this. Now, the other drugs you want to watch for, and you're familiar with, Aaron, is morphine mixed with Seroquel, morphine mixed with Haldol, morphine mixed with Roxanol. This is not Ritalin. Retinol, I'm sorry. Roxanol is pure morphine. And they cut it half and half. This is called the kill shot.
Okay.
And within 15 minutes to 2 hours, once that's administered, all of the organs shut down and it's over. And but watch for a ramping up or them beginning to use morphine, because that means the insurance is about played out. The money they can make is about over with. And so it's that
medication. How long does that usually last, Marty?
10 days. 10 days once that starts. And they will stop feeding and hydrating her.
Are they giving her pills, or is she on those patches?
She has pills.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And she's still able to swallow. But once they start this heavy drugging, see, she won't be able to. And they'll do it through IV.
She better just get guardianship of her mother-in-law, and then that won't happen.
Exactly. And you need not just guardianship. Go to patientsrights.org and get a patient's protective medical directive. You need this for yourselves.
Oh, good grief. Write that in the email, Marty.
Okay. And what this is, this hospice now under the Affordable Care Act can override the family, the physician, and the patient and call for a DNR. Do not resuscitate.
Big Brother is here, isn't he?
Yes.
Oh, he is.
And so you want to avoid hospice at all costs. One of the things I learned from Carly Walden, who normally does our hospice shows, and she's off right now taking care of her grandma. But one of the things, you can get a revocation of hospice. If you have a power of attorney, you have the right. If they try to force her into hospice, your mother-in-law into hospice, that means they're going to pull the plug.
Okay.
Power of attorney unless they can prove that her mother-in-law knows what she's signing, can't she?
That's
under
what they tell us right now.
Yes. But
she
you
can
have
get guardianship.
Yes. And as long as she's got guardianship, that's all she needs.
Right.
And so power of attorney is – so if, like, they tried to force your mother-in-law, if you get guardianship and they try to force her into hospice, you can go, and they have to have the papers right there. I learned this from Carly. They have to have the papers right. You want a revocation of hospice. And as her guardian, you can revoke that and get her out of there, get her back to a hospital. And because what they will do immediately is pull full food and hydration and begin the massive drugging, and within 3 to 4 days she'll be comatose. And then it's just a matter of, when it's convenient, the closer comes in. This, again, is all tied to the length of time that Medicare will pay. Let's say, for instance, you get put in hospice. They'll pay for 6 months terminal care.
Mm-hmm.
And you get put into hospice. They pull food and hydration immediately, begin these toxic drugs. and 10 to 14 days the closer comes in. They still get paid for the whole 6 months.
Oh, really?
See how that works?
Yeah.
In 2010, the first year they started keeping statistics on it, 2.5 million elderly people died on Medicare. 80% of them were in hospice.
And
now,
what year?
Do you think? 2010.
Okay.
This came from the Health and Human Services website. 80% of them were in hospice, either in the hospital, in a hospice facility, or in-home hospice care. Now, what do you think the chances are that many people were terminally ill? Even in hospice home care, they will bring in a bag of medications to keep in your refrigerator. One of them is the kill shot.
They did that to my father. Yep.
Yep. Yep. One of them is the kill shot. But it is a system of getting rid of what they consider human waste. You're taking up space and money. One of the things in Obamacare also, as you age, you hit the age of 60, your access to health care is reduced overall by about 20%. You hit the age of 70, it keeps going down each year. You hit the age of 70, your access to health care is only about 30% of what it is to the rest of the population who's younger. You hit the age of 74, and you basically are out of the game. Now they do a risk assessment on you. And that risk assessment is, if we invest in curing you or keeping you alive, even though we might have the means to do it, what is it you could possibly do to repay society for their investment in keeping you alive? And so now you cannot get like extraordinary care. You can't get cancer treatment. You can't, which you don't want anyway, if you ask me, but that's just me. You can't
or
get
dialysis.
Or dialysis. Yes, Arlene will be on tomorrow night talking about that. You can't get a lot
of
things.
You know, in England, it's 50, the cutoff date on dialysis.
Yes, and see, our whole system now, hospice, is based on the pathway system, which was experimental in England. You watch England, what they do over there, they bring here. They started that in 2008, and it was called the pathway system. The first year, 13,000 elderly people just, boom, disappeared. Last year, a physician came out, well, right at the beginning of this year, and said they had killed 33,000 elderly people under the pathway system, euthanizing them. We now have a bill in Congress making assisted suicide legal.
I know.
That just cannot pass. That simply cannot.
No.
Have you seen all these statistics coming from the countries that have assisted suicide as legal? I mean, they're using it on people who are, you know, mentally impaired in somewhere. I mean, they're just killing people off. It's just,
they've lowered the age, too.
Some Swedish man, you know, bragging about how, you know, we have almost no mental problems in this country anymore. I mean, they were bragging about it.
Yes. Yes, and I think
I'm just sent everything to you, Marty, and I'm going to have to beg off now because I've got my neighbor was dropping by to bring an address that I needed
to me.
She said she'd stop over and have a coffee and bring that to me.
Okay.
Good luck,
All right.
Aaron.
All right.
Thank you so much for your help.
I hope it works out.
Thank
night,
you.
Marty.
You too.
Night.
Good night. God, this has gone too fast. I hope you got something out of this you can use. I truly do.
I did. Well, I always know how to get a hold of you, too, so hey.
Yeah, and I've got a big network of people behind me. You know what I'm saying, that if I don't know it, they do. And
that's right.
So you have to have those people. You know that, Aaron. You have to have them. You can't know everything. You try to, but you just can't. And
I gave up on that a long time ago.
Yeah, I don't know. But like I say, this went far too fast. Is there anything you want to add in these last few minutes here before we go?
Oh, gosh, Marty, where could we start? Well, like I said at the very beginning, it's going to happen to everybody out there.
My only wish is that people that are worried about their parents talk to their parents before it becomes an issue. We did try,
yeah.
in all honesty. We've tried for years.
Yeah.
But she knows that we're more into natural health, and she thinks that's just crazy talk. So it's always been a battle with her.
Mm-hmm.
So we could never get anywhere with her. My mother is a different story. My mother
right.
tries to do things more naturally. She won't go on statin drugs, you know, those kind of
mm-hmm.
issues. We already have it worked out legally, who's who in the zoo. So,
mm-hmm.
and her attorney is my cousin. So, keep it in the family, right? So,
yeah.
anyway, you know, I know that my cousin is not doing anything to hurt my mom, okay?
Right.
So, you know, we have done that with her, but with Brad's mom, it wasn't going to happen. And that's
right.
why we are in this boat. If
yes.
she was easier to manage,
yes.
if she was easier to manage both mentally and physically,
right.
it might have been a different story, but that is not the case. There's a lot of other
right.
issues that make it difficult for anybody in the family to manage her at home. So that is my
right.
wish for people out there is talk to your parents now. Get it figured out so that you have a plan, everybody's kind of on the same page, and you're not stuck with no recourse.
Right. Right. Well, the thing is, so many families have done that, especially since we started these shows here, you know, 9 years ago. You know, people have done estate planning and everything, and the problem is they end up in these probate courts, and still I have yet to find anyone who can explain to me how the living individual becomes subject to probate, because it's only supposed to become active upon presentation of a death certificate. If that person's still alive, why are you not in civil court? If you're going to take someone's identity and all of their property, why are you not in front of a jury presenting your evidence of why this should happen? So,
because
you know, until
sadly, this country is imploding from within.
Yeah.
You know, right is wrong and wrong is right. Black is white. White is black. 20 million shades of gray in between. There's no moral compass for anybody. It's all about the almighty dollar that's declining
yes.
right now. This is a great empire that is dying. We're in the agonal breath part of this empire, and everybody is trying to get the last money, quote unquote, that they can, and they also
yes.
want to kill off a lot of people. And the way to kill off people is through technology. It's through the healthcare system. It's through anything
yes.
that they can do. We just happen to be alive during this whole mess. That's the sad
yeah.
part.
To me, Aaron, it is just nothing more based on exactly the reasons you just gave than a system of legalized murder.
It is.
And it's culling. It's a harvesting of the elderly, of the incapacitated, of the disabled. My God, they're even buying and selling our kids. And
they are. But it's a harvesting of souls, too, Marty.
Yes.
That's the thing.
Yes, it is.
You know,
yes.
it's everything. They're buying and selling baby body parts to the
yes.
highest bidders. Sex trafficking, for whatever reason, is at an all-time high. This is all about calling genocide, murder, mayhem. Don't forget the mayhem in there, because that's
right.
part of this, too. This
yes.
dystopian nightmare that we're living through.
Yep. Okay. Well, we got 90 seconds left. Aaron, thank you so much for being my guest for a change.
Well, thank you, Marty. It's been fun.
Yeah. Yes, it has, and we will have you back again. And I know Kyler is going to want to have you on his show, too. So,
okay, very good.
And I'll get that information from Sharon right over to you, and you can go from there. And everybody who tuned in tonight, thank you so much. I can see we had a full phone board. Every time we come on, it's always good, always a lot of listeners, and I'm looking forward to hearing the response to this evening's show. If you want to get a hold of Erin, she has asked that you use tsrad1@outlook.com. It's right there on the promo, and funnel it through me to her. I'll make sure she gets everything that comes through, but with everything they're dealing with right now, she's asked for that consideration. So there it is. And for all of you out there, please love one another. And to quote Ellen DeGeneres, be kind to one another. You might need that other person one day. And for the rest of you, like I said, you can't always choose who walks into your life, but you can damn sure pick which window you throw them out of. Y'all have a good evening, and we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.